الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته واهتدى بهداه إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، حياكم الله. Dear brothers and sisters, to this session of ثلاثة الأصول. Here the author says, المرتبة الثانية الإيمان وهو بضع وستون شعبة، فأعلاها قول لا إله إلا الله، وأدناها إماطة الأذى عن الطريق، والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. The author here says that the second rank of this religion is the Iman. And then he defined the Iman. He said, said that the Iman is seventy ranks and some other, some little ranks. Says here bid'un, and bid' means a number between 3 and 9. That is the bid'un. So it is 70 plus a number from 3 to 9. So it is more than 70 ranks. The highest rank of it is saying La ilaha illallah. And the lowest rank of it is removing anything which can be a harmful thing or object to hurt the people. And it means you remove it from the way of people. And the haya, the modesty is one rank of these ranks of Iman. So the Iman is not only saying, I must be saying, acting, and believe before that all. So you have to believe by your heart, you have to act, you have to say by your tongue, you have to act by your body parts. As it is not enough to be a believer just to say La ilaha illallah, or to believe, just believe without declaring, without doing what Islam obligates upon you to do. And Iman cannot be found without Islam, as Islam cannot be found without Iman. As he, the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, didn't say, وَأَرْكَانُهُ سِتَّةٌ وَأَرْكَانُ meaning the pillars of Iman. So as Islam has pillars, five pillars, Iman has pillars, these are six pillars. The first one of them is So the first rank of it is to believe in Allah. And to believe in Allah means to believe in Allah as the Rabb, as the Lord of all these universes. You believe in Him as the only creator of all these universes. And you believe in Him as the only controller of all these universes. You believe in Him as the sustainer. You believe in Him as the life giver and the life taker. You believe in Him as the one who controls everything in this world. And that is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. So when you see the rain descending down from the heavens, you know that it is created by Allah and it is by the command of Allah. This type of Iman or Rububiyyah must lead you to the Uluhiyyah. And as if it does not lead you to the Uluhiyyah, then this is not worthy. So you believe in Allah as the Rabb, and this belief must lead you to a higher state or rank, which is to believe in Allah as the God. So all of your worships must be for Him alone. So when you believe in Allah as the Creator, you ask no one for a child, for example. When you believe in Allah as the only sustainer, you ask no one for any sustenance that you need. When you believe in Allah as the life giver or life taker, you ask no one to either give you life or take life from whosoever. When you believe in Allah as the only Rabb that provides happiness and sadness, ask Allah to provide you the happiness and keep you away from the sadness. And so on and so on. So these actions which came from you, you believe and then ask. You believe and then ask. This is the Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. This is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. which means to believe in Allah as the only true God that you worship with your heart, with your tongue, with your body parts. With your tongue to say La ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. With your heart to have it stable there in your heart. With your So believing in Allah as the only Lord, as the only creator, sustainer, as the only controller of this universe, as the only provider of sustenance, happiness, health, children, wealth, whatsoever, then this must lead to the belief of the oneness of Allah and His Godhood, which must be through your worshiping deeds when they only be for Allah alone. So you believe only in Allah as the one who you ask for protection, for refuge, for help, for rescue, for guidance, for forgiveness. He is the one that you need to please, but no one else. He is the one that you need to please, but no one else. He is the one that you need to obey, and no one else. He is the one that you need to keep remembering, and no one else. He is the one that you must love the most, and no one else. He is the one that you hope the most, and no one else. He is the one that you fear, the real fear, and the most, but no one else. As He subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يخوف أولياءه فلا تخافوهم وخافوني إن كنتم مؤمنين. That is the shaitan. That is the shaitan terrors his own followers or awliya or so. Don't fear them, but fear me and beware of disobeying me if you are truly believers. as in Surah Ali Imran, Surah number 3, ayah number 175. So, when you believe in Allah's lordship, Allah's Godhood, then you must believe in Allah's names and attributes. And your belief in this type of belief, you believe that Allah has names. And these names are all beautiful. You believe that Allah has attributes, and these attributes are all perfect, and no one can have like them. And you believe in them the way He subhanahu wa ta'ala described in the Quran, and the way that His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described in the authentic hadith, knowing the meaning, believing in it, but referring the way of how it is back to Allah alone. He alone knows best how these attributes are. So when you hear Allah Ta'ala laughs at someone. You got to understand it how it is. The same meaning. Without interfering into the way how He, Allah Ta'ala, laughs. When you hear that Allah Ta'ala comes, then you have to believe in it as it means to you. The meaning of the word comes. وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا يَوْمَ يَأْتِ هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظُلَلٍ مِّنَ الْغَمَامِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ. So you believe in it as the meaning, as the meaning of it. But the way of how He subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, this is only for Him to know. And no one else can know. But Allah alone. We believe that Allah ta'ala settled on His throne. And we understand the meaning of the word Tarak or Istawa, but we give no any description of how He settled, because this is way, way beyond our minds to figure out. But we generally believe Basically because Allah Ta'ala mentioned it in the Quran. Basically because the Arabs understand it the way it was revealed. And they did not ask about how. The first Arabs, the companion, and also the kuffar, ya ikhwan. Even the kuffar, Quraysh, idol worshippers, Christians, Jews, Majus, no one asked how this attribute of Allah made. But he, Allah Ta'ala, knows best. However, we understand the meaning. We know the meaning, but not the way. And by that we adhere the belief of the Salaf. And we be up on the understanding and guidance of the Quran and Sunnah in regard to the issue of the names and attributes of Allah. Away from the ways of the deviants who try to give a wrong belief in regard to the names and attributes of Allah. As some of them say, we don't know the meaning. The meaning is only known by Allah. And this is wrong and shame at the same time. Would that mean that Allah Ta'ala has spoken of something He, Allah Ta'ala, does not, or He's spoken to the Prophet and to the believers with something that they would never ever understand it? What is the wisdom behind that? But He can speak with whatever He subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. We understand the meaning of this attribute, but not the way. This was the first pillar of Iman, inshallah ta'ala. We continue the explanation of the pillars of Iman, how the Muslim should conduct this round, and how to believe in Allah Ta'ala, the angels, and the rest of the pillars of Iman. Wallahu Ta'ala A'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. And now if you have any question, we can take them, inshallah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Here is a question from Muhadeen Publication. Says, Assalamu alaikum, Shaykhana. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Is it a condition to have two witnesses to have a divorce? If you mean a condition, if you mean by a condition that the divorce is not valid until you have two witnesses, the answer is no. But if you mean to say that there is a condition by the meaning that who doesn't do it will be a sinner, then the answer is yes. If the person divorces his wife, even without having two witnesses, this divorce will still be considered. Na'am Allah Ra'ala. And this is one of the issues of fiqh that the ulama have different opinions. As we all know that every issue of fiqh, the ulama have different opinions on. But we are trying all the time to be with the dalil. Na'am Allahu A'lam. Now, next question says, is it permissible to play sports like football and cricket? And what if it takes you away from attending the masjid, but you pray salah on time? Also, if it is permissible, can someone do it as a job or as a means of earning income? Well, originally, sports are permissible. And whether he practices as a hobby or as a business, as a job. But the important thing is that enjoying this hobby or this business must not make you abandon what Allah Ta'ala obligated upon you, such as the prayers on time, in a masjid, and the nice clothes. On time, as Allah Ta'ala said, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابٌ مَوْقُوتًا. In the masjid, as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, as Allah Ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ. نعم. And Allah Ta'ala said, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. That's all in the masjid. So, So, playing the sports is not forbidden, except when it turns to wasting of time of the Muslim, which is very valuable. As Allah Ta'ala said, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say, my prayers are my rituals of Hajj and Umrah. My life and death نعم والله تعالى أعلم. Next question says, is it permissible to attend the movie theater or even to watch cover movies at home? Back again to the first question, let me just add something. I want to elaborate on the issue of sport. Playing for building up your body without wasting your time, without exposing your aura, without yani, mixing with people who are not good, with these conditions, it is permissible. But if it goes beyond that, then it is not permissible. It is not permissible for a Muslim to waste his time. It is not permissible for a Muslim to abandon the salah or abandon the jama'ah in the masjid. It is not permissible for the Muslim to go and mix with the fusaq who turn your heart harder and harder by not reminding you of Allah and the Akhirah and the grave and the fire, and they always just praise you for your good shot or good game or whatsoever. A Muslim's time is very valuable. Then, and also these sports contain a lot of gambling and challenge and many other bad things. And when I say challenge, I mean the bad vision of challenge. Now the next question says, is it permissible to attend the movie? And I'm wondering, and I'm asking, does a Muslim have time to go for movie or theater or cinema or whatsoever? Where from the Muslim gets this time to waste it? And what benefit can he collect out of going to the cinema or theater or whatsoever? If it is a recording of a lecture or teachings of Islam, then I would say yes, but not in the mixed climate. There must be segregation between men and women, even in the field of seeking the knowledge. But if this movie or theater is for Muslims, actors are Muslims, but it is not beneficial, so why you waste your time? Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Furqan, describing the believers, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. And they are those who never witness or attend the false. A false is the zur, false of speech, false of acts, false of witnessing whatsoever. So the Muslim has no time to waste it. And time is very valuable. And you don't know when you die. You may die now, tomorrow, day after, 1 year later. You don't know. So how come you waste your time? You can ask those old people who their backs bended by age.
Ask them, database has been updated.
Ask them how much money would they pay to go back to the age of youth. And I'm sure the answer of every one of them, they will pay whatsoever they have, and they will work to collect more money for the one who may provide them the way to return back to their times of youth. So I'm wondering how these people waste their times, and instead of seeking knowledge or reciting the Quran or visiting the relatives or the graves or ill people or helping others or doing tasbih and dhikr, instead of all that, they go and waste their times by anashid, by, as they call it, Islamic anashid, Islamic songs or Islamic movies, or subhanallah. This is waste of time, and time is very valuable. Rather than that, it is a movie of fusaq who practice many sins and disobedience. Rather than it is for the kuffar, which may contain of even kufr and major fisk, and it might be in a mixed climate, and maybe there is someone next to you who is drunk, or who is drinking, or smoking. Even some of them may smoke ash. Are we? So how come a Muslim be like that? Be there? Subhanallah. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about markets where people run their business and have their income to live, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the more evil places of ear before Allah as the markets. So what about the movies? Subhanallah. I don't think that there is a person who is senate and goes to the cinema rather than he is a practicer and the best quality you go, the farther you find them from such kind of open sins, or sins that may be conducted openly. May Allah Ta'ala guide us and all those who are misguided in whatsoever issues. And I think this would be the last question, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah increase our iman and our ilm and our taqwa and make us from those callers who call the Muslims by their acts, by their belief, by their honesty, before, by their نعم والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.